Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of Off the Bench with Ken, FIFO, and B. On today's episode, we will talk about the Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Love trade and whether or not they should do it. We'll also talk about the Washington Wizards' hot streak in the Eastern Conference and whether or not they should be taken seriously. Finally, we're wrapping up the show with Isaiah Thomas and whether or not he can keep up his hot January. So obviously there's a lot going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They tend to kind of go through these stretches throughout the NBA season where things get a little messy with the franchise. And obviously we've covered the story about LeBron asking for more playmakers. Well, it came out and was reported that the Cavs were offered Carmelo for Kevin Love. Do you guys think they should have made that deal or not? Because we would be talking about a Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, or Carmelo versus Durant, Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. So if you had your pick, like which one would you want? So if you were Cleveland, would you have made that deal?
You know, man, I think that Carmelo Anthony is a better offensive player than K-Love. And I also think he fits more so the playmaker role that LeBron is talking about. Because this was an interesting stat that I found out. Only Kyrie and LeBron average more than 2 assists on that team. That's insane. So what that tells you is that the rest of that squad rely on LeBron and Kyrie to generate offense for them, which is what LeBron is talking about. So in that regard, I think that Carmelo fits better, because what type of offense do you need to generate for Carmelo? Carmelo is going to generate offense for him and others. Not like he's not a playmaker in a sense that, you know, he's going to get 10, 12 assists, but he's a playmaker in a sense that he can get his own. And because he can get his own, he can get other people theirs. So it's one less catch and shooter on the squad that could generate plays for others. Because K-Love, let's be honest, he's not that type of power forward. He's not Blake Griffin or, you know, one of these other type of ball handling Draymond Green type power forwards. So I understand it in that aspect. And now with K-Love having back spasms and not being there, you know, and Carmelo just dropping 45, it looks like, man, maybe they should have made that move. But I can also make a case for K-Love. But at the end of the day, Cleveland needs to judge themselves by what Golden State Warriors are doing right now. And I think that Carmelo is more firepower than K-Love. I just don't know if that's enough to beat this squad. I think that they definitely need to look at adding or trading for some pieces, but I don't know if that's going to be enough. But at the end of the day, you got to appease LeBron. And if LeBron says, yo, this is what I want and this is what I need to win, then you got to do what he wants and needs, because at the end of the day, it's going to fall on LeBron anyway. So you might as well let him make the moves that he feels that, you know, you guys should make, as long as it's feasible and it makes sense. Carmelo, how doesn't Carmelo make sense? Carmelo's a great player. The only reason why it doesn't make sense is because of the timing. So now you're going to go into the playoffs to try to acclimate a Carmelo Anthony just to, you know, make a championship run. I don't know if that can actually work, but you have to consider it.
What about them playing the same position? Will LeBron just move over to the four?
They're interchangeable.
They're interchangeable. Both can switch off and play the three or the four. It doesn't even matter. They both three and four. They can play the three or four position.
So you would make the deal, B?
Yeah, I probably would. It just, my only issue is like, well, no, Kevin Love is not that like much better of a defender. I was looking at it as far from a defensive standpoint, because what. You still, both of them would be a lot of ability on defense. I'm pretty sure LeBron would probably amp up Carmelo on the defensive end of the ball. Like, look, if you want to get this championship, you got to play on both ends of the rock. And I can see LeBron motivating someone like Carmelo, because they already have like a relationship anyway. you know, a good friendship anyway. So I can see LeBron doing that. But, I mean, why not? I mean, especially like what people said with this back injury, with this, you know, ain't no telling. You know how, especially when you a big dude like that, man, back injuries can be lingering. This could be something to where LeBron won't have him come to finals. And then we'll be looking like, people really be saying, whoop, Cleveland should have pulled that trigger and getting Carmelo. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I you know, I guess me personally, I would like to see stuff get shook up in the NBA. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing them pull that trigger. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but, you know, if it had happened, I'd have been like, oh, man, we shaking some things up. Because I really hope going into this trade deadline, we'll see some wheeling and dealing for some teams, man. I love when teams, you know, be wheeling and dealing, you know, towards that trade deadline, man. I love it.
I put it to you like this, Ken. I think, in all honesty, Carmelo makes more sense for the Clippers than he does for Cleveland. And mainly because...
He does.
Yeah, Phil Jackson doesn't even want Blake or DeAndre back. So you can facilitate that and add that to your core three. I think that is more potent. And if I'm Carmelo, that would be my preference.
That would be interesting, too. That'll shake things up.
Yeah, you add Melo to CP, Blake, and DeAndre? Man.
You know what? When I first saw the trade, I was like, nah, why would you do that? You know, why would you trade Melo for Kevin Love? And I think Cleveland, they're looking at long term. We got Love for 5 years. LeBron will be out at some point. We'll have pieces to build on or something to trade. But then I started thinking about it. And when you think about Melo, you think about a guy that's going to be there for the fight. We've seen Kevin Love in that environment going against Draymond Green and the Warriors, how they try to push him around. And they didn't really do much of that to success last year, but he didn't have the game. He didn't have really the impact that he could have had or that we felt he should have had. Melo changes that. He's used to playing with LeBron. LeBron can play with anybody, so you don't really have to worry about the pieces fitting. I mean, you have to worry about it from a chemistry standpoint, but LeBron will make it work. They played together on the Olympic team, so they have a history. And Melo can get buckets all over the court. So LeBron and Kyrie can come off the court, and you're really not going to lose much. So outside of just losing the rebounds, because we understand that when it comes to Golden State, that's their weakness, or the offensive rebounds and the boards. But outside of that, like you said, B, defensively, they're pretty much even. You know, so you get another guy that's a scoring option for them. So I think it would have made sense, and it would have been interesting to see them play together on the same team. But I think long term for the Cavs, you know, I know that they're thinking about the future for them once LeBron leaves or retires. But the more I thought about it, I thought it would have made sense. But what the Cavs are doing in response to LeBron is that they're bringing in Mario Chalmers. I'm sure you guys already saw this. Mario Chalmers, Kirk Heinrich, and we talked about it on Twitter, Jordan Farmer, and Lance Stephenson. I also saw on hoopshype.com that they're interested in Deron Williams and DJ Augustine. Now, they're saying that the Mavs don't want to trade Deron. I'm not sure about DJ Augustine. But when I look at the group of guys they're bringing in, the first guy I thought about that would be a good fit for the team to me in terms of playmaker, Lance Stephenson. Now, he's not the point guard you're looking for, but he's very versatile, and he does a lot of things on the court. Like, he contributes in so many different categories, and he's a high-energy guy. So I thought he would be a good fit. Out of that group, who do you guys like the most? Free agents.
I like Mario. I like Mario because of the history that he has with LeBron. And we know he's a proven winner. He's not going to wow you, but he's going to make championship-level plays. I also like Lance Stephenson. I've always been a fan of Lance. I think he needs another opportunity if he gets this opportunity, obviously it's going to be on a minimum deal. They're going to bring him in. I think it'll be an interesting dynamic after the blow that he gave LeBron when he was a Pacer. That's going to be kind of weird seeing that. But adding Lance to me, I'm trying to figure out what that lineup, how Ty Lue is going to use him, right? Because we already know that when it's money time, we know three guys that are guaranteed to be in the lineup. Three guys. It's not going to be the three you think. It's obviously Kyrie. It's obviously LeBron. That third guy is J.R. Smith. Where does Lance fit in trying to match up with a smaller Golden State? And obviously, I'm assuming Golden State is going to make the finals, and I'm assuming the Cavs are going to make the finals. But, okay, so you got LeBron, Lance, JR, Kyrie. That's four. So you going with K-Love, Tristan, you know, so I don't know if he kind of fits that. But, you know, I think that Cleveland definitely needs to get somebody else. They have to. They got to appease LeBron. It's going to be one of those guys, though. I think those are the two best candidates out there. Because I don't think Dallas is going to move Deron Williams.
No, like, because
we're talking about a trade. Just same thing with DJ Augustine. And because Dallas doesn't want to trade him, you know they're not going to buy him out.
Yeah, I think with people, I'd say Mario Chalmers just because of the history. But, man, I didn't even know Lance Stephenson wasn't playing on the squad. It's like, man, how the mighty has fallen. Like,
I know, right?
Remember, he was like damn near like an 18, 19, between an 18 to a 20-point a game shooting guard. You know, he left Indiana for the money for Charlotte, and we hadn't heard of him since. Like, it was at one point he was like listed as like maybe a top 10 current shooting guard in the league, and this is like, now he's an afterthought.
Borderline all-star.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. He was a bona fide all-star, and like now he's trying out to be on someone's squad to come off the bench. So I just find that dynamic, you know, kind of interesting. Like, damn. Like, I didn't, when I saw that, I'm like, Lance Stephenson now on somebody's team? Like, damn, that's crazy. How the mighty has fallen. But, yeah, I think Mario Chalmers, I think, you know, it gives, you know, Kyrie a rest, you know, as far as at that point guard position. And, you know, LeBron, too, for someone that can that push the ball and the pace. Because, like FIFO said, familiar, you know, it's like someone who knows what it takes to win. He's won at the collegiate level championship and in the NBA. So, you know. I think Mario Chalmers, that's a nice little piece to have come off the bench.
Yeah, in 2013, his last year in Indiana, Lance averaged 13 points, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds. He went to Charlotte, and he just never got right. And then
He got that money, and
Clifford never could really figure out a way to use him, I think.
Nope, they could. That's where he was at last, the Clippers. I was like, man.
Well, no. He went to the Clippers. They couldn't figure out how to use him. Then he went to Memphis. He had a sort of a
damn. He was at Memphis
back year. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yep, he played four. Yeah, he averaged 14 points, 2 assists, and 4 rebounds. So the assists were down. And then he went to New Orleans this year, where he put up 9, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds. So he was kind of getting back around, but he got hurt and they had to let him go. So he has a lot of intangibles that he would bring to that team, but the blow in the ear and all the other stuff, I think that'll be water under the bridge for LeBron. And I think LeBron may like a guy, because he would actually and could actually be their Draymond Green, the guy that's kind of an irritant to other people, very, very extra, you know, just doing stuff just to get under people's skin, but a guy that can make, you know, plays here or there when you kind of need them to make plays. But how physically will he, you know, react to being hurt? And again, you don't have that point guard, even though I think at times in Indiana, he kind of ran a little bit of the point guard too, so he can kind of bring the ball up court. But he's not a true point guard. I think Kurt Heinrich would be interesting because of the defense he has. But to me, he comes across a little bit slower. Now, I don't know who's faster, him or Mario Chalmers. But But he could be a good fit, a veteran. Come off the bench, he can shoot the three. I don't like Jordan Farmer at all. They need to leave him where he's at. But last thing, wrapping up Cleveland, and we kind of text about this earlier this week. When I saw what Tristan Thompson said about LeBron, or his comment, period, that I've earned my money, it said to me that there is a fraction in that team off of what LeBron said, and they have to do a lot to repair what's going on within that team. And the first thing that came to my mind is they're not winning the championship this year. I'll take it a step further. Hot take of all hot takes, they're not even going to the finals. That was the first thing that popped up in my head, because the chemistry.
Get out of here, Ken.
Come on, man. Chemistry goes a long way, Ralph.
It does, but talent goes further. And at the end of the day, they are by far the most talented team in the East. So let's not say that they're not going to make the finals.
Boston can get them.
Nah, Boston can't get them. They can't outlast them. That's the problem. Talent outlasts. And I'll put it to you like this. With LeBron and Kyrie, they making the finals.
Without Kevin Love.
They don't need Kevin Love to make the finals.
I think this Boston team, they're looking better. I think they're much improved. Isaiah Thomas.
They're not ready, man. They're not ready. Look, if you're relying on a 5'9 point guard as your star of your team, you're not going to go far.
Dude, their leading rebounder is Avery Bradley.
That's what you're not going to go far, man. That team, the way they're constructed, they're nice. They took on the identity of their head coach. And I love their head coach, but it's not enough, man. Look, and I'm not saying Isaiah Thomas is a gimmick, because he's definitely a bona fide all-star, but his run is short. Like, you cannot win a championship or compete for a championship when your main guy and your only guy, because it's not Al Horford. It's not any one of those other guards or small forwards that they have on that squad. Isaiah Thomas is the best player. You're not going to win. He can't match Kyrie for 7 straight games. Who do they have to match LeBron? Like, it's not enough, man. It's not enough. They need a bona fide guy like a Carmelo Anthony. Then I would take them more serious. But until they get that, I don't believe in the Celtics.
Tristan Thompson saying, I've earned my money. That's a jab at LeBron, man. And then for Kyrie Irving to say it's about time, like, there's something going on in that organization that's causing some friction. Now, I don't know if it's what LeBron said, but whatever's going on, it's not right. Their defense is terrible right now.
Of course. And you know what? Here's the thing, right? Like, Tristan said he earned his money. I agree. But you're not earning it necessarily this season, because what did they pay you for? Primarily defensive rebounding. And if the defense is off, then he needs to take accountability for that. Because they don't pay Kyrie to be the defensive stopper. They don't pay LeBron to be the defensive stopper. Well, they kind of do. But LeBron's not the same defensive kind of guy. They primarily pay Tristan Thompson. And if Kyrie and or LeBron and whatever needs to call people out, then it is what it is. Tristan needs to take accountability. The same way LeBron needs to take accountability for being the best player on the squad, and Kyrie as well. Tristan needs to earn his money this season. If the defense is off, then you need to take accountability for that. You're the one that needs to step up. You're the one that needs to take the ownership. And if Kyrie says it's about time, look at the game he had against OKC. You damn right it's about time. Tristan should give you consistently 12 to 14 points and 12 to 14 rebounds. That's what they pay you for. And a block and a half. He needs to be their enforcer. And he has not been that throughout the season consistently. So, yes, as a leader of the squad, regardless if you do it behind closed doors or in the media, it is their responsibility to call you out and to give you praise when you do it. Because that is what the expectation level is. They expect Kyrie to get 20-plus points. And he's been doing that. Where you at, Tristan?
I think they could be got this year, man, if they don't get this stuff to, if they don't get a playmaker I'm telling you right now, if they don't bring somebody in, and LeBron has to like who they bring in, they are not going to the finals. They're not going to the finals.
They're going to the finals, Ken.
Yeah, I don't know why you're going that far, Ken. They're going to the finals. Look, man, when you win a championship and you're trying to repeat, the regular season can become mundane. It's hard to get up to play all of these games to take every single team's best shot night in, night out. Every single game. If you look at a lot of the previous champions, the next season, sometimes they go through a skid like this. It's not uncommon. Now, it's not good, but it's not uncommon. This is not like it's uncharted territory. It has been charted before. And this is something that you can use later down in the season as a turning point. You see what I'm saying? So that way you could rally, get hot when you need to get hot, believe in everybody. Hopefully everybody turns on that switch and you make your championship run. So that's why I'm not too worried. It's before the All-Star break. Now, if they come back from the All-Star break and they lose 5 out of the next 7, there's a problem. There's a major, major, major problem. And they may not make the finals. But right now, I still think it's too early. And it's not like the big three have been playing bad. LeBron has been playing damn well. Kyrie has been playing damn well. So when LeBron is criticizing the rest of the squad, including himself, I think he has valid points. The heart of a champion is huge. And we know that LeBron and Kyrie want it, right? So let us just step back and let the team processing and gelling aspect happen. Because Tristan feels like that now, but Tristan wants to win as well. All of these guys want to win. That's what they play for. They will get it together. They are a championship team.
All right. We'll see. Anyway, you were talking about Isaiah Thomas, man, and I'm like, I give Isaiah Thomas props for what he's doing, but I also don't know if I'm that much of a believer. And I also wonder if he's using too much now and won't have little left for, you know, the playoffs. Because like you said, if he's the main guy, how much can you rely on him? Like, this is cute. Right, in the regular season, everybody's talking about his fourth quarters, and he's playing great and fantastic. But is this enough to win in the playoffs? And are we really overlooking what Isaiah Thomas is doing in the NBA right now?
I don't think we're overlooking it. I think he's getting enough coverage. You know, he's an all-star reserve, and rightfully so. He deserves it. I'm not a believer in Isaiah Thomas as a long-term solution. I think he's on a run. I think he's good now, but he's not somebody I would build my team around. He's a piece, not the piece. And until Boston gets the guy, I don't believe in him like that, man.
But like, it feels like they're trying to sell him as the guy.
Nah, what it is Brad Stevens is a basketball genius, because the best basketball coaches are able to maximize the guys that they have. That's all he's been able to do. He doesn't have a superstar player. So it just shows you how good of a coach Brad Stevens is to maximize an Isaiah Thomas to have these guys in contention in the East. I think that's all that is.
Isaiah Thomas averaged 32.9 points in January, the fourth best average scorer month in history. He's up there with Paul Pierce. The highest score in January in Celtics history.
Yep.
That's crazy. And every time I look up, he's doing it. So you saying it's all Brad Stevens?
I'm not saying it's all Brad Stevens. No, Isaiah Thomas has been balling since the moment he stepped on the NBA court. But what I'm saying is that he's never played at this level. And I think that has a lot to do with Brad Stevens. And I don't think that Isaiah Thomas can do what he's doing right now on any team, which is the difference between what Isaiah Thomas is versus a superstar. You put Joel Embiid on any squad, he's going to do what he's doing right now. Mm-hmm. You put LeBron, KD, Steph, Kyrie, Russell Westbrook, James Harden on any team, they're going to do what they're doing right now. I don't believe the same for Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, I think a really good reason is that the squad that he's on is the reason why he's putting up, you know, such great numbers. I mean, stat for stat, he's putting up better numbers than Kyrie, you know, but I just think it's just the squad that he's on. I mean, who else is like really a super big time playmaker on that Boston team? He's the only one that's making plays. I mean, he's in a position to make plays because he's the only dude right now. So, I mean, I think if you put Kyrie on that same team, swap him, Kyrie will have, you know, good numbers as well. His numbers would be just as good as Isaiah's, if not better, you know, if you put him in that situation. But yeah, I just think, he could, like people said, he's not that guy, but I definitely think he can be your the second guy. Like, if you got your LeBron, if LeBron wanted Isaiah Thomas to make play, Isaiah would be that perfect second in command dude to have on your squad. I would definitely look if I had a superstar type player that I'm building a team around, I would definitely look at Isaiah Thomas as being my other go-to guy, my second go-to guy. He fits perfect in that type of situation.
All right, last thing and we get out of here. The Wizards started out horrible, but they are rolling right now and are fourth in the East, and nobody's really talking about them. And we know coming into the season, there were rumors that Beal and Wall don't get along, but they're on record as saying, look at their performance. But overall, man, like, should we take the Wizards more serious, or are they just on a hot streak right now?
I think they're just playing well right now. I mean, you got to remember this is an 82 game season, so it's going to be stretches where you suck. And there's going to be stretches where you're looking like a playoff contention team, a contender team. And I just think it seems like they're starting to get going at the right time of the season, kind of like in the middle going into that second half, because it's good that you start off. Yeah, you're right, Ken. They started off horrible. You know, within this first month. Yeah, within this first month, the first month of the NBA, they were horrible. So, I mean, rather to start off horrible in November than to be horrible in March, you know? So, you know, I think they just starting to get it. I think sometimes when you're playing, you know, in the season progress, because I think they pretty much got this. They have the same squad. I mean, I can't remember if they picked up, you know, got like, you know, four new guys or three new guys, or, you know, they got like a lot of new players or not. I haven't really been checking up on the Washington Wizards moves that much, but I think they just kind of get in their groove. You know, sometimes that happens in NBA season. Some teams kind of get into that good groove or find a good pocket, and now the question is, how long can they sustain this groove that they're in? You know, can they still ride this all the way into, you know, February and March, going into early April when the playoffs, making that playoff push? Can they start off being a four, like, well, you said if we had a four seed right now, so they'd be a home first round home court advantage. You know, can they catch Toronto and be a three seed? You know what I'm saying? So it's just the question is just how long they can ride this streak. But I think right now they just in that good groove, and they on the, you know, you got to think, in an Eastern Conference, you can go on a 5-game winning streak and be good, or you can go on a 5-game losing streak and be eighth or ninth, or, you know, the outside looking in. So it's just a matter of Wizards can kind of keep this up, man. But yeah, John Wall and Bradley Beal, they've been playing excellent ball recently, man. It's you know, it's good to see it. But get some more comp in that Eastern Conference.
21-8 since December 5th, and have won 10 of their last 12 games.
Yeah, eight games above 500.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? Like, there is a thing called chemistry, but when you have Magic Johnson, he is the chemistry. When you have LeBron James, he is the chemistry. You don't need chemistry. LeBron James creates the chemistry. It is what it is. There's certain players that just, you don't need chemistry with CP. CP creates the chemistry. That's what floor generals do, man. So don't give me that. Now, the thing with John Wall and Bradley Beal, they just had to get on the same page. That's all that was. They felt some type of way about each other, and it is what it is. I don't want to say that that was just a chemistry type of thing. It's just they had to get on the same page, man. These guys are too good not to be on the same page on the basketball court, and that's all we're seeing. I'm not even saying it's a chemistry thing, because John Wall is chemistry. That's what he does. He elevates other people. It's just Bradley Beal, in my estimation, just needed to step up. And I think it's a big question mark on Bradley Beal, because you signed a max deal at the time, and you haven't been healthy for an entire season. You know, like he's had tremendous ups and downs. He's the one that needs to be consistent. John Wall has been playing at an all-star level for at least the last 3 years. So now that Bradley Beal is healthy and Bradley Beal is really starting to find his groove, and that team is starting to play better defensively under Scott Brooks, and to the point you were making, they haven't really added a lot of new guys. What it is that their guys are starting to develop. The Kelly Oubres of the world, the Otto Porter Juniors of the world. So internally, they're starting to have a growth spurt, and it's just coinciding with John Wall and Bradley Beal getting on the same page. So now they're looking like almost a different squad. No, they're just starting to be what they're supposed to be. Now, how serious are they? I don't know, because their main thing has always been consistency. So I don't know. If they play like this, they can definitely be the second or third best team in the East. I definitely think they could be better than Boston from a talent perspective, because I'll take John Wall over Isaiah Thomas 10 times out of 10 times. That's just how I feel about John Wall. I think he's one of the best point guards in the league. So if John Wall and Bradley Beal can play at this level, I think it's scary, but at the end of the day, they're not beating the Cavs. So it don't matter. Everybody is playing. Their championship in the East is the Eastern Conference Finals. Nobody's beating the Cavs. They just don't have enough talent to do so.
And that is our show for this week. Everybody, thanks again for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast Off the Bench on iTunes, Audio Boom, and eventually we'll be on SoundCloud. So you can listen to us there. So that's it. We're out of here. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.